let's welcome our guest to the show. Always love having this guy on. He's a good friend of the show. He's great at what he does. He's Herb Weisbaum. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBC News. You can read all of his stories. You can subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. Follow him on Facebook at consumerman and on Twitter at theconsumerman. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Well, the last time we had you on, you were here live in studio.
Absolutely. Just having finished up my Lou Malnati pizza with Dan.
Yes, exactly. So,
I found out they deliver, and we're going to have a Lou Malnati pizza party out here sometime before the end of the year and have them ship back to Seattle, a little Honkers beer, and have a great old time.
Yeah, well, you can have some Chicago stuff out there in Seattle.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and you brought me some stuff from Seattle the last time when you were here at last, and I want to tell you, I don't drink coffee, but I gave it to my parents that you brought.
Yep.
And my mom said it was the best coffee she's ever had.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And the salmon, fantastic. It was all great stuff, and I thank you for that. That was really a nice little taste of Seattle when you came in.
Thank you. And it was fun to be with you. It was nice to finally meet you and Dan and see the beautiful Allstate studios that you have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this facility.
See, I got the plug in there?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good. Very good, man. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're not the money man for nothing, my friend. Yeah. give everybody your background real quick, just so, you know, we always started off this way.
Sure. I'm here in Seattle, and I've been covering the consumer beat for about, for 35 years or more. I work at a local station in Seattle, a radio station, and I also have been writing consumer columns for NBCNews.com for about 12 years now. I was on the CBS Morning Show for 10 years and Today Show for about 6 or 7 years, and my job is just to help you be smarter and avoid the scams and not let the bad guys rip you off. And that's what I try to do every time we talk and that sort of thing. Save you money, make you safer, and avoid the scams.
Right. And again, we have our phone lines are open. Herb is here live. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for any questions, talk, or text. Herb, tell everybody about consumerman.com. That's where they can read all the articles that we're going to be talking about.
Sure, it's just a website I run that makes it easy. You know, in this world of internet, everything disappears in 24 hours, so I just post all my stories on consumerman.com. You can find them there anytime, and if you go on there and want to, you can sign up for my free newsletter every week. I'll just tell you what I did so you don't have to go to the website. I don't sell, share, rent, borrow, the list. The only person who sees it besides me is my dog, Sam, and he's not telling anybody about it. But it's just a way to keep up on the things that are happening in the consumer world, and happy to do that service free for folks.
That's right, and the newsletter subscription is free, so go to consumerman .com. All right, Herb, we'll take a break, okay, and we'll come back and we'll start talking some of these stories that we want to get to in consumer concerns, and we'll take some questions from our listeners via text or talk at 312-981-7200. Hang on, Herb, okay?
You got it.
All right, there you go. Herb Weisbaum is with us. It's consumer time. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. It is Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummies, and the regular Friday features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's here to help. So call us up or text us right now at 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's talk about how to avoid common bank fees. Lots of banks, there's a piece here. Lots of banks have, these fees that they apply to you, and there are tips and ways that you can avoid these fees sometimes.
Yeah, they make billions of dollars a year on fees, and some of these fees you have to pay, but a lot of these fees are totally avoidable if you just stop and think or do a few things, and you don't necessarily have to switch banks or credit unions in order to get rid of these fees. You just have to stop and think and figure out what you're paying and figure out ways you don't have to pay them. We'll go through the big three that I wrote about in my story, and those are the account maintenance fee, the monthly fee, the overdraft charges, and out-of-network ATM fees. So what do you want, door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Why don't we start at the beginning? Let's start with the checking account fees.
Okay. checking account fees. Okay, so, you know, before the financial meltdown, free checking was basically the norm. And these days, there's often a string or two attached in order to get free checking, such as direct deposit or minimum balance or that sort of thing, but not always. And Bankrate.com just came out a couple of weeks ago with its recent survey they do every single year to look at checking accounts, and they found that 41% of non-interest checking accounts are free by default, so there's nothing you have to do in order to get the free checking. 41%, and that's up from 38% last year, so moving in the right direction. But then another 57% become free with direct deposit or minimum balance, an average to avoid the fee is about $600 or so, or some other condition. So basically, almost every checking account, non-interest checking account in America, I mean, it's 90-something, but you're do the math. You're a major radio personality.
Yeah, right.
But you got a producer. Anyways, 57 and 41, so that's like 98% of the checking accounts can be free. If you just, in some cases, free by themselves or free if you do something. So the goal really is, if you're paying a monthly fee for that checking account, find a way that you can get it for absolutely totally free. And if you don't find something that works at your bank, maybe you should look at either an online bank or a credit union, because Bankrate found in a separate survey that more than 80% of credit unions offer a free checking account with no strings attached. Now, it's a little bit different, Nick, with interest-bearing checking accounts. About 74% of those require a pretty hefty minimum balance in order to get the check of that for free. That's like $6,300, something like that, or a direct deposit. But even an interest-bearing checking account can get gotten for free if you put your mind to it. Probably not the best way to go. Interest checking with that sort of minimum that you got to keep in there, $6,300, because they're paying almost nothing in interest right now. The average yield is just 0.08%, 0.8%. You'd be much better off just having a free checking account with no interest and taking any excess money you want and park it into a high yield savings account. I have one now through American Express. It's paying about 2% return, and some are paying 2.25 with really low balances, or a minimum deposit of $100 or $500 to start. So you shouldn't be really at this point in time parking your money in an interest-bearing checking account. In most cases, you're not going to get anything for it. If you want to park money in a, you know, very liquid checking account, do a high-yield checking account, either through your bank, or a lot of them are being offered online.
Okay. Well, that's a great way to do it. Well, first of the interest, you got to have a minimum of like $6,300 for the interest.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And, you know, the cool thing is, like with mine, you can move it back and forth. So, in other words, I can keep the money that my nest egg, my emergency fund, I can keep that money in the high interest checking account. And then if I need to pay a bill or do something, I just transfer it electronically to the checking account, and it's there, and boom, I can do what I need to do. In the meantime, it's sitting in the other account making money for me. So that's the smart way to go these days, as opposed to getting an interest bearing checking account at most banks where they, like I said, they pay bupkis.
And now, are there, you know, there's so many different banks out there and so many different ways to choose these banks. These fees, are they common in every bank?
Well, the way most people will choose a bank, by the way, is what, unless they do something online, is what's near their, where they travel, either on the way home or the way to work, believe it or not. I mean, that's how most people pick their banks. But again, with, you know, 98% of them in some way, shape, or form offering a free checking account, you really should not be paying for a checking account. That's one fee that you can just knock off the list and not have to pay that. And, you know, it adds up to hundreds of dollars a year and thousands of dollars over the course of many years. It's just money you could be doing something else with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What about ATM fees?
Well, you know, ATMs are everywhere these days. You need some cash, you can find one. But if the ATM is out of network, then you could have a problem. And here's a quote from Greg McBride, the chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com, which I just love. He said, ATM withdrawals are a lot like health insurance. You've got to stay in network. If you go out of network, it's going to cost you. And that's the truth. Because if you go out of network, you're basically, in most cases, going to pay two fees. You're going to pay a fee to that ATM owner, and then you're going to pay a fee to your bank for going out of network. And together, those fees can easily add up to about $5 or so, which really does take a big chunk out of your $50 withdrawal that you just had to have the cash and get some money. So here's what they found. The average surcharge assessed by the ATM owners about $3.02 right now, and the average fee charged by your bank to use another institution's ATM averages about $1.66. And they broke it down. It actually varies by metro area, and I'm very surprised to learn, you both surprised here, that the highest is in Detroit, $5.28, the combined fees, those two fees together, $5.19 in Atlanta and $5.18 in Houston, and then Denver and Tampa. But the lowest end of the list, it was at 21 out of 25, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago was 23 out of 25 on the low end. You guys were only $4.31, and then San Francisco and St. Louis. So I don't know what the deal is with, but it's still, you don't want to pay that, but it's lower than it is in many parts of the country. So, and again, completely, absolutely, totally avoidable. You know, you need to just plan when and where you're going to make a cash withdrawal so you stay with the network. If you're not sure if there's an in-network ATM anywhere around, just take out your smartphone or go on a laptop, go to the bank's website, and find out where one is. It's in your network, probably one within a couple of blocks. And if you're really in a pinch and you can't find one and you just need to have cash, then just go to a store, make a purchase, and get cash back at the point of sale with your debit card if you have a debit card. And that's essentially a free withdrawal. And that's one of the only reasons that I can think of why a debit card would be good. But a lot of people who have the debit cards do that, and then it's a free withdrawal, and you don't have to worry about an ATM fee. But again, that is a fee that is totally avoidable. You do not need to pay.
I can't remember the last time I went to an ATM. I mean, I live very close to a branch of my bank. But I can't remember the last time I went to an ATM and took money out. I do most of my paying either with a credit card or with my debit card at stores.
Sure.
And if I need cash, I do exactly what you just said. I'll you know, make a purchase, and then I'll get, if they, you know, because every time you make a purchase at a store, it does ask you if you want cash back. It's one of the prompts that comes up. And just, you know, boom, just take a little cash out that way. That's the only time whenever I get cash, that's how I do it. I haven't been to an ATM for the specific reason of taking money out. I deposit checks at an ATM every once in a while. But I haven't taken money out of an ATM. I can't remember the last time.
Good for you. That's good. And then you're not paying the fees.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. Okay. Hang on, okay, Herb?
And then we'll talk about overdrafts.
Exactly. Yep. We will talk about overdrafts, something I was very familiar with a long time ago. Hang on, Herb, okay?
Okay.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man, and he writes and covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is consumerman.com. And we're giving you tips on how to avoid those bank fees. And if you have any specific questions or concerns, consumer-related, you don't want to be swindled, and you're really wondering what's happening and you need some help, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and we'll take your calls and questions after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's a Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're going to talk about some sleep-related issues and some food-related stuff in addition to all the regular Friday features. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text and later on Fly Jam requests. My guest right now is Herb Weisbaum. He joins us once a month. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com, and you can check it out at consumerman.com. And before the break, we were talking about some of the charges, you know, some of these common bank fees and charges that you can actually avoid. And we talked about it. Herb gave you some advice on checking account fees and on ATM fees, and now we want to handle another category of fees, and we welcome Herb back to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Yes, let's talk about overdraft fees.
Yes, let's do that.
Financial institutions make a lot of money when we make mistakes, and we all do from time to time. Here's a staggering figure. The average overdraft fee currently $33.23, according to Bankrate.com. That's the second highest on record. The most common overdraft fee is $35. And they do vary by region. The highest region is Philadelphia, $35.30. Baltimore, $35.05. Houston and San Diego, and then Phoenix. And the lowest happens to be San Francisco, believe it or not, and then Los Angeles, which, again, two big cities I find bizarre that they would be so low, but they are. But anyway, it doesn't matter because it's still a lot of money, and avoiding it is really simple. I mean, as you know from past experience, you just have to make sure there's enough money in your account to cover anything you're doing, which includes a check, a debit card, or an ATM withdrawal, which sometimes is harder if two people have debit cards on the same account and they're not keeping track of things. But the one area that I really want to just focus in on a second, because so many people are confused about this, is the overdraft protection offered on debit cards. And it's not intuitive, and that's why it's so confusing to people, even though they give you written statements and you have to agree that you've got this information and understand it. So here's the deal. If you opt in to the overdraft protection that the bank is offering you for debit card transactions, what that is going to happen is that purchases where you're going to overdraw, where you don't have enough money in your account to cover them, are going to go through. And you're going to get hit with one or more overdraft charges. So that's why it's overdraft protection. You can't have an overdraft. You're just going to pay every time you would bounce a check because they're going to give you a loan to cover that overdraft. If you decline the debit card overdraft protection, which is what all the consumer advocates yours truly advises as well, then if you don't have enough money to cover the transaction at the point of at the checkout counter, what happens is your transaction is denied. It's declined. Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing, but in my book, it's a lot better than paying $35. So that's it's sort of like reverse that, you know, if you want overdraft protection, you're never going to be embarrassed, but you're going to pay a fee if you screw up. And if you do it several times in a day, like you don't find out till the end of the day you've overdrawn because you made a little purchase here and a little purchase there and a little purchase there, you may get hit with a fee for $35 every single time that you make one of those overdrafts. One simple way to handle this is link your checking account with your savings account. And that way, if you do slip up, the transactions are going to be covered, and fees for these kind of transfers are typically much less, $10 or less, which sure beats paying $35 for an overdraft.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And one last point I want to make, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there, before I go, and it's really important is, you really have to check your statements and look for a problem. You really have to. Don't assume it's correct. I just went through my American Express account the other day, and there was a charge in there for $195. I have no idea what it was for. It's a company that I never dealt with, a place I never was. I called them up, boom, the money was taken off of my account. They're investigating. It's going to be taken care of. There can be little tiny charges. Sometimes bad guys sneak little tiny charges, $6 on your account or something, because odds are you're not going to spot them. So they're the big scams where they try to put a lot of money on your account that you're going to miss, and sometimes it's the little dollars that they hope you'll miss, especially maybe like in a corporate account where a $6 charge wouldn't stand out with you. If there's anything that doesn't make sense, a charge that doesn't belong, contact the financial institution, question them, find out what's going on, and if you slipped up maybe just once you had a late payment, just once you had an overdraft, the first time, you're not doing this all the time, call them up and say, I made a mistake, is there anything you can do? In many cases, they will waive the charge for you the first time. They'll give you a mulligan that first time, right. And it's certainly worth asking, because they're certainly not going to give it to you if you don't ask. So be nice and give it a shot. Realize that I made a mistake, but maybe you could help me out this one time. I've been a long customer with your financial institution. Right. Sometimes they will do it.
Okay. All right. And by the way, you can read this the whole article, which is how to avoid all the common bank fees, again, at consumerman.com. It's up there right now at consumerman.com. Herb, we got a couple of texts here.
Sure.
All right. And 815 area code says, at the checkout, should I press debit or credit when it asks? And what is the difference if I'm using my bank card?
It doesn't really matter. I assume you're using by bank card, they mean their debit card.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just two different ways that the transaction is being processed by two different transaction networks. And this is incredibly confusing, and those of us in the consumer world have been screaming against the terminology that's being used here, because we believe from the get-go it was confusing to people. Many people, even today, believe that by pushing credit, it turns your debit card into a credit card. You cannot turn your debit card into a credit card. It is always a debit card. You are always taking money out of your checking account. A credit card is where the bank is floating you a loan for 30 days until the bill comes. So it's just two different processing systems that are being used by the merchants, and it doesn't really matter. One you put a pin in, one you don't. There used to be a difference in how much the processing charges are. That's not really a big deal, and it's a merchant hassle anyway. But it does not really change anything for the consumer perspective, except that confusion that people think, oh, I'm protected because I'm using my credit card now. No, it's still your debit card with the risks, as we've talked many times before, that a debit card does not have the fraud protections by law guaranteed to a credit card.
Got it. Okay. Actually, what is it that if you do use the credit card option, that's when you don't, because you know it's a debit card when you have to put your PIN number in.
Mm-hmm.
That's so like it, but do you
correct.
Still like if you choose, because I always if ever use my debit card, I don't even have an option. I just put my debit card in and it automatically it asks for my PIN number.
Right.
Yeah.
When you do that, the transaction is completed in real time, and that's why your PIN number is being put in. If you don't, if you hit the credit option, it's an offline transaction. It's like when the merchant processes at the end of the evening or something like that. So, again, it really doesn't matter to you, but my concern is that people think they've turned their debit card into a credit card, which they certainly have not done.
Can't do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Can't do that. It's still a debit card.
It's a debit card. That's right. 773 area code says, you mentioned credit unions a few minutes ago, and I've always wondered about getting one instead of a bank. What are the benefits?
Sure. The first benefit is that a credit union is owned by the members of the credit union, and a lot of people like the fact that they're an owner and that the credit unions are there to make their members happy, as opposed to a bank, which is just there to make money, which is not that a credit union isn't, but they really do seem, and all the focus group studies and all the marketing reports that I've seen, credit unions tend to score higher in customer service and customer satisfaction. Because of that, they tend to have lower fees. It's a much better place to get a loan. They tend to offer better interest rates on that sort of thing. In many cases, they'll be much more willing to work with you if you don't have the best credit in the world. And those are some of the major benefits of a credit union. The downsides are, for some people, they don't have as many locations in many cases, unless it's a very big credit union, as the banks do. But, like you were saying, you do most of your transactions online, and there's no real problem. And any significant credit union these days has deals. In the old days, you couldn't find an ATM with your credit union, so you'd always be paying a fee. And these days, they have reciprocal deals all across the country. You just have to make sure you're using the right ATM, but they will take care of that. You can use thousands and thousands of ATMs across the country. So there's no reason to do it, but it's a great place. Like, if you think you're going to get a home loan or get a car loan or something like that, a credit union is a pretty good place to shop and at least comparison shop when you're looking for borrowing money.
And they've really come a long way. A friend of mine was using a credit union some years back, and like you said, it was not the most convenient thing in the world, but they've really improved the services.
Oh yeah, we have BECU out here, which is Boeing Employees Credit Union, and I'm sure they have them in Chicago too. Now Boeing's there, and they start out little. They're huge now. They're all across the area. They plow a lot of money back into the community. They have auto sales where they let people sign up right at the car dealership and get the decent auto rates. They've come a long, long way. Credit unions are a big competitor now with traditional banking.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, because I didn't have a general interest in it, except my friend kind of swore by using a credit union, and I always thought he was a little bit crazy. But then as these things as you said, the services have vastly improved and have become major. So.
Yeah, and as I said, and most customer service satisfaction surveys that are taking place, credit unions score much higher than banks.
Yeah, yep.
Much, much higher.
Nomi says, I keep getting phone calls to my mobile phone that are either sales or phishing calls. How do I stop them? I've already added my number to the do not call list.
Well, if they're illegal calls, if they're robocalls and phishing calls, those kind of things, and they're people who are already breaking the law and they don't care about the do not call list, very good to be on, because that's basically solved the problem of legitimate telemarketers calling you if you don't want to be called. Now we're trying to deal with the illegitimate ones, the criminals who are trying to call and do all kinds of things. There are a number of various apps that you can put on your phone. One is called Nomo Robo, NOMORobo. It was one of the original killers of these kind of calls. The guy, Aaron Foss, who created it, he won the Federal Trade Commission's $50,000 Robo Killer Contest, or Robo Challenge, many, many years ago. And he started with landline service, and it's now available for cell phones. That's one. There's one called Hiya, and one called Truecaller. Both of those are free. So those are just three things, and they'll help. There are other ones available as well for different Android or Apple devices, but they will either flag the call, stop the call, alert you to the call, et cetera, et cetera. It's not anything we can do to stop everything now. Many people don't answer the phone if they're not familiar with the number. Let it go to voicemail and then deal with it then. The key is, of course, if it is a robocall or a spam call, never return the call and never pushes like, and push two to be on our do not call list. These are con artists. They don't have a do not call list. If you were to respond in any way, return the call or push the two, it tells their computer this is a working telephone line. Let's send them more spam calls. So that's something you never, ever want to do.
Right.
They're working on technology. I blame the phone systems and the phone companies, the landline phone companies, for not wanting to do more about this. We're slowly getting to the point where some new breakthrough technology may hit the market in the next year or so. It is long overdue and long awaited. But right now, the bad guys are winning, unfortunately. And 30 to 40% of all robocalls are now considered to be scam calls, and they lead you down a path, and they're trying to steal your ID, your money, or both.
Yeah, I never answer any calls that if I don't recognize the number. I never do.
I mean, the key is go to the voicemail, maybe listen, because who knows, it could be like the consumer guy Herb calling you to interview you for one of his stories.
Right.
But don't like it, totally ignore them. But yeah, if you don't know in real time, a lot of people just don't answer anymore. And the other one is, I'm getting all these now, and these are called the neighborhood spoofing. So what they do is, like, they take the first six digits of your phone number. So in my area code, it's 206, and then 817, and then they put up four numbers that are very close to mine, and that's the idea that, hey, it must be somebody I know, because it's like almost in, and that's one of the ways they're getting you to pick up the phone. You Another know, way they're doing it, they've
Herb,
been doing
I'm sorry,
it.
I'm sorry, Herb, that just happened. No, that just happened to me. That just happened to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I got two phone calls, and I didn't recognize the number, but it had the same prefix. And it was very similar, and they were two in a row within like 3 minutes, and I didn't answer either of them. I didn't answer either of them, and they didn't leave. They didn't leave a voicemail.
Of course not. Yep. And the other thing they do, which is really tricky, is that sometimes have the caller ID show up as your phone number, which you're going, how could I be calling myself?
I have to
add, it's all these tricks, these buttons they push to get us to do what they want us to do, and you got to be smarter like you and just not do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Herb, hang on. Okay.
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. We've got some more consumer stories to talk about, and we can squeeze in some of your phone calls or text questions and concerns. 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. And it's Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up and more. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Our guest right now is our good friend Herb Weisbaum, who is an award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can check out his website and his newsletter at consumerman.com. If you have questions or concerns, consumer-related, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back to the show. Hi, Herb.
Hey, Nick, Dan is DJ Dan Chagrou's picking some good tunes tonight.
Well, it gets real funky later on in the show.
It sounded like a Leslie organ speaker there. It was really nice.
Wow, all right.
I used to book bands when I was a teenager, so, you know.
Gotcha. Well, you've been involved in music for a long time. We talked about that before.
Long time. Yeah. So.
All right. So you actually have a story here about vaping devices. And it's an interesting angle to take on this. Why safer vaping devices that don't explode are not going to be available in the U.S. Now, if people are going to vape, which I don't encourage that you do that, there are ways to, because we've known that there have been explosions and fires caused by these devices. Now, why wouldn't they be allowed in the U.S.?
Well, yes, we've all seen the video of these devices exploding in people's pockets and in their faces, and there's actually now at least one death that is being attributed to a vaping device exploding and killing a guy in Florida when the shrapnel went into his head. So the explosions can be very, very dangerous. So Underwriters Laboratory, UL, you're familiar with them. They put the logo and they test it and certify various everything from smoke detectors to electronics, you name it. They have come up with a certification process for vaping devices, and because they realize there's the problem and they want to do something about it. And it's a fairly complicated test that they really put these products through, and they have to have certain things on them or not on them in order to be certified by Underwriters Laboratories. For instance, the battery cannot be removed from the device, because a lot of the problems are caused when people take those very powerful lithium-ion batteries and stick them in their pocket, and then it hits some change, and then kapow, and we've seen what happens. So that's one thing. They also also cannot be easily modified, because a lot of people who tinker around like to modify with a heating device and that sort of thing, the heating element, and change that thing around. So that can't be involved as well. They also have to have a certain ventilation, so that if the worst happens, the hot gases will go away from your face. And also they have to have an automatic shutoff and some other regulatory things, regulators for the power, so that these things are less likely to have a problem. The first product was actually certified by UL a short time ago, and it's a company called Joytech, a really big player in the e-cigarette market. They're based in Southern California, and they have a new vaping device called the Ego AIO, and it is the UL certified device, and they can't sell it in the United States because Congress passed a law and the FDA has regulations that says basically that any new device that is on the market since August 2016 cannot be on the market without pre-market approval from the FDA. These products have already been on the market, some of them, and what they've simply done is added safety protocols in order to keep the battery from exploding, and yet the position of the FDA is these are new devices and you have to go through all this protocol in order to put them on the market. The problem is the FDA has not laid out yet all the details as to what the protocol is, what you have to do to pass the test. So these companies are saying we're caught in a bind. We have all this new technology. These safer e-cigarettes are being sold in other countries. This one, the Ego AIO, is going to be sold in Canada. It's going to hit the market in Canada. It's silly that we can't put these safer devices on the market. And how in the world could an automatic shutoff or a battery power regulator be something that the FDA has to worry about, you know, like with nicotine stuff? And their answer is, well, you change the product, it could change how the nicotine is processed by the device and how it affects the body. The industry thinks that's foolish. The FDA is sticking with its opinion. So what it basically means for now is that these new safety designs that are going to show up in other parts of the world are not going to show up in this part of the world. I think that's sad. I just think, you know, we've seen the horrendous number of explosions and the problems that have taken place. It would be nice, you know, that UL to have these products that want to be UL certified so people could look for them on the market, but it does not look like that's going to happen for some time.
Wow. Okay.
And if you want to read more about it, it's a very long and detailed story.
It is, yeah.
And a lot of complexity, but it's on the website as well. But that's basically the bottom line, that ain't going to happen here, and the manufacturers say they want to do it, and they blame government red tape.
Got it. Okay. Here's a caller, and it's Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick. The question that I have is, when I go to the grocery store and ask for cash back, is there a difference between my debit card or using my credit card? And if there is a difference, what's the hassles or problems with getting hacked? If I'm hacked at a grocery store, what are my protections with a debit card or my protections with a credit card?
Okay, that's a complicated question, but let me try to answer it for you. First of all, I'm not sure you can get cash back with your credit card at the supermarket. You get cash back and if you do get a cash back on a credit card, when you take money out of with a credit card, like at an ATM, that's a loan, and you're paying interest on that right away. I've never tried to get cash back on a credit card at a supermarket, so maybe that's something you can do. And if you can, I assume they just charge it to your as a charge. Have you ever actually done that on a credit card?
So that's
seen as an instant loan, just like you took it out from an ATM machine. That's not the way to get cash. If you want to get cash, you take it with a debit card. You got to have money in your checking account in order to cover it, and that's a free transaction. So you never want to take it out with your credit card. You want to take it out with your debit card, as long as you have money to cover it, and they're not going to get a bounce check, a bounce debit transaction charge from your bank. Does that make sense?
It does. But the hassle that I've had is I've gotten hacked, and when I called the bank to let them know, when I got hacked in my debit card, it took almost 3 months for that money to get put back into my account, whereas with my credit card, it took 3 days.
Well, that's the problem, and Nick and I have talked about that many times before. You don't have the same protections with a debit card as you do with a credit card, which is why I don't like debit cards. So if you're looking to get money, then go to an ATM and take money out of a cash machine that's your money out of a checking account, and then you don't have to pay. The most you'd pay is, if you're using your bank, nothing. So that's the way to get cash if you need it. Use your card at an ATM machine. Don't go taking it on your credit card at the supermarket. You're going to pay a huge amount of interest on that.
Right. Hey, Herb, can you? Donna, thanks for the call. Herb, can you stick around for a minute?
Sure, absolutely.
After the news?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, because, you know, this
it's overtime, though, you know.
All right.
just kidding.
All right, you can just charge it to my debit card, okay, Herb?
You got it.
Because here's the deal. This is our last visit before Black Friday, and I want to get some, holiday shopping tips, okay?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Right,
cool. Hang on a second. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's going to stick around for a little bit after the news because Black Friday is coming up, and we're not going to have another visit with Herb until after that. So we want to get some tips and some shopping tips, and we have a couple of texts coming in as well. All right, news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday, and that means all the regular Friday features coming up later on. Fly Jams Friday. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy. We're also going to we have a few sleep topics that we want to get to as well. But we asked our friend Herb Weisbaum to stick around for a little bit here, and we're glad that he's going to do so. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all of his stories. Subscribe to his free newsletter at consumerman.com. And we wanted Herb to stick around for a little bit longer here because this is going to be our last visit before the holidays kick in, and particularly Black Friday when everybody goes out and wants to be a holiday shopper. So we wanted to get some advice from Herb on that. Herb, welcome back, and thanks for sticking around.
Thanks. Well, I got to give you all my sizes and everything so you know what to get.
Right. So before that, we did get a couple of quick texts in. Let me get those in before we jump into the holiday shopping.
Oh, sure. Okay.
219 area code says, why do banks charge $5 for my statement? It should be free.
You're right. They do it because they want to get you to go to the paperless statements. It doesn't cost them any money. So you have to decide whether you want to pay the $5 and get the paper or go paperless. For some things, I've gone paperless. For some things, I just want to have the paper statement in front of me because it reminds me that something's happening and it's too easy to lose an email. So it's the decision you have to make, or find out if there's another bank around that will give you your statements for free and don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. I've done the paperless. I've opted for paperless on a lot of stuff. So
I have some too. But for certain things, like my big Visa account, my big American Express account, I want the paper there in front of me, and that's just the way I feel right now. And for them, I don't have to pay anything, so that doesn't change my decision.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And 847 area code says, when I pick up medicine and write a check, it shows up as a debit. I don't have a debit card. What should I do?
I assume the person is talking about the statement that they get from the bank. There's two columns. There's credit and debit.
Yeah.
And the credit is like when you make a deposit, and the debit is when you take money out of your account. So it's not a debit card. It's debiting your account. So those are just accounting terms.
Yeah, it's just a terminology. It's still,
correct.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with your account. That's what they say when you're taking money out. So
correct. It's just accounting terms. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got holiday shopping starting. I can't believe it's already November.
The stores have all the stuff, and I was in Costco the other day. The trees are up, the lights, everything's all there.
Let me. So. I live basically across the street from a Walgreens, Herb, and I went in there to pick up some vitamins the other day, and they have already moved this was like a couple of days before Halloween, and all the Halloween candy had been moved to one half of the side. And they were putting up the Christmas stuff as I was walking in. So they were getting rid of the Halloween stuff and putting the Christmas stuff up, and it wasn't even Halloween yet.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
It's crazy. It gets every year. It gets earlier and earlier and earlier. And the thing that makes me most upset is that, you know, Thanksgiving, it turns into a speed bump. It's not even, you know what I mean? It's not even, people aren't, you know, people, you know, thanks. I love Thanksgiving. It's, you know, you spend time with friends and family, you eat a bunch of stuff, and you hang out and you watch football. And that's, to me, is great. But now, people, you know, many people around the country shovel the food down their throat because they got to get in line at the Costco or they got to get in line at the Best Buy. And I just think that that's crazy. I think we should say.
I agree with you. And you know what? If you have to do some shopping, have a lovely occasion with your family, and then go online afterwards in the early evening hours. You can do it that way as well. Most bargains are online as well, and it's just, it's crazy, and I applaud stores such as REI and several other ones that are closing on Thanksgiving to give their employees a day off and
absolutely.
Give us a break.
I totally agree with that. It makes me crazy, but, you know, obviously, it's coming up, the shopping season, not just Black Friday, but the you know, the Christmas shopping season is happening. Are there just some tips for being better and safer as a holiday shopper?
Sure, let me just a few things to keep in mind. First of all, if you're looking to buy a TV, you're going to probably find your best deal on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. Not the best deal of the year. The best deals actually come just before the Super Bowl when they're trying to get rid of all the old models. But if you're looking for a TV at this time of year, those 2 days are the best time to buy. Interesting article in the USA Today based on a report from Adobe Analytics, and they're basically saying that they're afraid that with online shopping, a lot of the things that people really want will be gone by Black Friday if you shop online, because some of them are being offered starting on Thanksgiving. So if there's something you really have to have, a specific laptop, a specific computer, a specific TV, they're suggesting you might want to buy it on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, as opposed to Black Friday. Again, the hype never stops, and it's like you can go crazy, but that's just the advice they're giving. If you're looking for toys, Cyber Monday tends to be a little bit better than Black Friday, and then as you get closer, about 2 weeks out from Christmas is usually the best time in most cases to buy toys. And one tip, and it gets us back to the debit cards again. If you are going to shop online to buy anything, my strong advice, because of the fraud concerns and just so many problems with online, don't use a debit card to make an online or a telephone purchase. Use a credit card. You may think you know who you're dealing with. It may be a bogus site. It may be something wrong. So, you know, if you have a debit card and you're going to use it, you know, the supermarket or whatever, that's one thing. But please, I strongly suggest you don't use it when you online shop or when you shop by phone, catalog shopping. If anything goes wrong, it could be a major hassle with a credit card. You call up the credit card company and you say, I had a problem. They take it off your charge and deal with it. So that's just my last piece of advice. And finally, don't make yourself crazy. You know, if you're going to go out on Black Friday, have a plan. Make sure you know the store's layouts. Make sure you know what they have. Remember that sometimes they're limited quantities, and if you're not the first person in line, there's only 3 of those TVs or 4 of those washing machines or whatever per store. Do you really want to go through all the hassle for that? Is it really, really worth it? And last but not least, for all the members of the tribalist thing, Hanukkah starts December the 2nd. So remember, it's very early this year.
Okay.
But I've got to get that in. You
of
know,
course
important.
You do. Yes, of course. I totally understand. Let me ask you this, Herb. You know, as the holidays approach and mm-hmm. you know, they get into the whole holiday shopping thing, do the bad guys gear up for this time of year? Are there more scams?
Oh, sure.
Do they build up because of this?
Sure. What they'll be, you'll see all kinds of things, such as you'll see bogus ads showing up in social media. That's not the way you know, you've got to be very careful. That's not the way you shop. So they're going to try to entice you to a fake website. There will be people sending out fake coupons via text and that sort of thing. There will be some copycat websites that if you put in the name of the store and just get one letter off or whatever, you may wind up on a copycat website where they're selling, got bogus stuff and counterfeit stuff. So yes, you just have to be a little bit on guard and a little bit more alert at this time of year.
And also, we were a little bit earlier, I do want to mention this, a little bit earlier we had a call about, we had a text about robocalls, and, mm-hmm. you know, because there's an election on Tuesday, I'm sure that a lot of people have been inundated with them if they're not on the do not call list.
Well, robocalls for political campaigns are not illegal and are allowed, even if you're on the do not call list, because they're not trying to sell you anything.
Oh, right.
The do not call list is a telemarketing list. So bona fide surveys, religious calls, or political calls or anything else is not telemarketing, not selling you things. They're allowed to do that without violating if you're on the do not call list.
So that's aggravating.
It is, but it's America, you know.
So, yeah.
You know, as they say in Chicago, vote early and vote often. You know?
So. Oh, I plan on voting at least 4 more times. So that's just the way it is here.
You know, this is the last time we'll talk before for Thanksgiving. So you and Dan have a great, and all your listeners have a really, really good one. And I'll look forward to talking to you later in the month.
Absolutely. Before you go, Herb, you recently went to Europe. Tell me a little bit about that before we cut you loose.
Oh, sure. We did a cruise down the Rhine, a longboat cruise down the Rhine, which is fabulous. So 2 weeks ago, the weather was 75 degrees, basically, and sunny every day, which was great for us and horrible for them because they're having a drought over there.
Oh.
And the Rhine and the Danube are so low that the boats, these longboats, which are really, they don't go very deep, can't even navigate all the river. They have to take you off and put you on a bus and then take you down river and put you back on another boat again.
Wow.
The barges, which most of their oil moves up and down on barges, can't be full because because they'll hit the bottom of the rivers. So they're sailing the barges up and down, not with full loads right now. So it's a very serious situation they have there, and there was no rain in the forecast. So they're just like they'd kill for rain, but there's nothing happening right now. So they're having a very, very serious problem. But the people were wonderful. The food was great. They really have transportation down between the trams and the trains and the subways and everybody riding a bike. They've really got transportation down in these European countries. But it was a good visit.
Very, very good. Okay, Herb, thanks for sharing that with us. And to you and your family, have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you. Talk to you real soon.
Okay, Herb, take care. There's our buddy, okay. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. And you can check him out at consumerman.com. You can follow him on Facebook at consumerman and on Twitter at theconsumerman. And he covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com and joins us once a month. And we'll have him back on in December. But we just wanted to keep him around, just a little while. And we thank him for sticking around for some tips on holiday shopping, which is going to kick off in just a couple of weeks. So, all right. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get some sleep-related stories to talk about here on 720 WGN.